He wrote this music to express foreboding. Something like war was approaching, and he could tell. Britain had not fought on the home front for 99 years, since Napoleon Bonaparte was defeated at Waterloo. But in 1913, Elgar could see that storm clouds were gathering again. Next year, it is 100 years since the start of World War I. And in 1913, after relative peace for decades in this country, there was a lot of idealism. Many thought that humankind had progressed so impressively that war was a thing of the past. World War I severely quietened such idealism. Lots of those going off to fight in 1914 thought that it would all be over by Christmas. The remembrance of war teaches us to be wise, not idealistic, especially when our world is complex and confusing. And being wise, the Bible says, is about making lots of good choices. And good choices are about choosing what is better. Not so much what is ideal, much more what is better. In our first Bible reading, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, the book that was written by the rich king who thought he had everything, then realized he didn't even know the meaning of life. And then as he searched for meaning, he discovered being wise is about always choosing what is better. The first verse of chapter 7 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment." It's true, isn't it? A good reputation is better than expensive perfume. How about this one? "It is better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting." Why is being at a funeral better than being at a wedding? I go to a lot of each, and I agree with Ecclesiastes. And it might sound unlikely to you, but go with it, please. If, like Ecclesiastes, you're seeking meaning in your life, then a funeral is better. Don't you have more meaningful conversations at funerals? I do. Because facing up to death can make us talk about things that matter. And it is at funerals that we take good things to heart and think about life in a deeper way. Much more likely at funerals that people listen and receive the good news which Jesus brings, that his death and resurrection bring the offer of life after death with him, an offer to all of us. It is at funerals that people are more realistic about the way that we all sideline God and our need to change and seek his generous forgiveness. So it is that Ecclesiastes makes his point. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of countenance the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And we might add, for the same reason, better to be at a remembrance service, honouring the sacrifice of servicemen and women, and spending time pondering the futility of war, but the necessity for it to be fought in so many circumstances. Better to be at a remembrance service considering the meaning of things that matter. It's not ideal, especially if you haven't got a seat. But it's better than the alternatives on a Sunday morning in November, and it is wise to choose what is better. 2014, as well as being 100 years since the start of World War I, will also be the year our forces very largely pull out of Afghanistan. I think our nation was unwise to go to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I said so at the time. It's been costly and difficult for our forces and their families and for local populations out there. Invading such divided countries was foolish, but I think there is at least one great benefit to come from it. Our armed forces now are much more prepared for the next major threat to peace on our shores. Like many countries around the world, we are experiencing the threat of armed terrorists acting in the name of Islam, killing and maiming and bullying defenseless people who are going about their peaceable lives, at home, at work, at the shops, at church. Because our armed forces have been in Iraq and Afghanistan, they are much more able to help us and other nations now. Because our forces have been a decade in Afghanistan, we are more ready as a country, better defended. Now, I recognize that's not a totally comforting thought. Maybe it's a moment of foreboding. And a reminder that we will need wisdom and resilience in the future. Our country will need wisdom and resilience in the times that are coming. Wisdom, not silly idealism. Wisdom means habitually choosing what is better. And resilience? Well, one aspect of resilience comes from building up the institutions which form the real backbone of our country and our communities. There's a fascinating verse in the Bible, in the Old Testament, given to a nation about to enter a difficult period. And God calls them to build up the institutions that matter, and it says this very practically: when a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be charged with any related duty. He shall be free at home for 1 year to be happy with the wife whom he has married. At the time of the book of Deuteronomy, all young men were being conscripted to the army. Everyone was needed. And it tells us that for a nation to be resilient, it needs good armed forces and other service personnel, people who are well trained and committed to our defense. But there's another institution which matters if our nation is to be resilient. That's marriage, the bedrock of child rearing, the hub around which wider households progress, and the best example of loyalty and faithfulness for everyone. Marriage is not ideal, but it is a lot better than the alternatives. So a wise and resilient nation needs resilient marriages. And the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible is clear that this is much more likely if the newly married man and woman are given time to invest in the first year of their marriage, which, like good investments, will pay off. Indeed, year one of marriage was even more important than being at the front line in a time of war for the sake of a nation's resilience. The Bible doesn't have an idealistic view of marriage, as you may have heard in the second reading read to us. Jesus said there is no marriage in heaven. But on earth, families and societies do better with it. It is the better choice for resilient households and a resilient nation. There are other aspects to resilience, as well as good institutions working well. There's good character in people. The character which God gives and which Jesus showed. But we need our key institutions to be resilient and to invest in them for the sake of our nation. As a parish church here, we support the forces. Two of our recent curates have become chaplains. No pressure. Geoffrey Firth is now RAF chaplain and will be with us on Sunday the 19th of January. Philip Burrows is army chaplain. He's just back from Afghanistan and is doing a great night with us at the Legion Club Room on Tuesday evening the 28th of January. Everyone's welcome. Why don't you come? As a church, we are committed to helping our forces to be resilient. As a parish church, we're committed to helping the institution of marriage in our village and in our country to be resilient. As a parish church, we are helping all sorts of people in their character to be Christ-like and resilient. These things matter under God. They matter to our nation. Wisdom and resilience matter, and they will matter. Lord God, please help us. Amen.